As you can see, I've put the word Christmas up on the board. After all, that's why we're here this morning, because it'll very soon be Christmas. But why Christmas? Why Christmas? It's good to ask the question why. Are you a why person, always wanting to know why? Why did Jesus enter into this world? It could be God is saying, I am here, or I care. They would be good reasons, wouldn't they? Well, let me give you an illustration. There was somebody in a tower block with cracks in the walls in their flat. And when somebody came to investigate, they didn't go straight to the flat up in the tower block. They went to the basement. They wanted to find out the real root and cause of the problem. And so, if we're answering the question, why Christmas, then we have to go back right to the beginning. And here is a picture of the Garden of Eden. God's wonderful new creation. Every day he said it is good. And the jewel of his creation were Adam and Eve, whom he put into the perfect Garden of Eden. And all was good. Adam and Eve, they enjoyed God and they shared his wonderful life. They were free, happy, and at peace. And they knew who they were and why they were there. Everything was right. Everything was good. And they could have everything they wanted. Everything there was for their enjoyment. But don't take from this one tree. They were being tested, as you and I are tested. They were our representatives. How would they get on? They had received God's love. Would they respond and love him back? Well, when they were told by the devil that they were actually better off without God, why not be in charge and choose your own way? Those words made them think, maybe I can do better. And they chose not to believe God was good, but to believe the lie. Believe the lie that said, I know better. Well, these thoughts and attitudes have reverberated down through the centuries. They disobeyed God. Disobedience came into this world. And the moment they did so, something terrible happened. Something was broken. They became frightened and hid from God. God seemed far away. And the consequence of this was something really dreadful. That happened not only to them, but also to their descendants, you and I, and the whole world. There was an overlay everywhere, the shadow of sin. The world became dark. It became a dark world. It is a dark world, as if all the lights had gone out. And I can remember, I'm old enough to remember when there was a miners' strike and we were at school, and several times during the week you would find that all the lights just suddenly went out and you were plunged into darkness. Well, that is how the Bible describes living in God's world, but without God. Despite all the bright lights, it is a dark and scary world. My mother used to live in a village, and at night it was so dark I couldn't see where I was going, and I remember stumbling and losing the edge of the path. In fact, it's very easy to lose your way at night. A friend of mine lost his way and ended up in the mud. Can you imagine somebody all covered in mud? In fact, there was a large picture in the newspaper, at the front of the newspaper last week. A bit like falling into a pit full of mud. Adam and Eve didn't fall in, they jumped in. How stupid. This made them dirty, dirty. Man and woman, created in the image of God, fell from their high place to a very low place. A very low place. We mustn't equate humans with animals. We are worse, much worse than them. Men and women are cruel, hateful, devious, perverted, dishonest, proud, greedy, and self-seeking. Isn't that true? What kind of relationships can you have when two people are always looking to themselves first? What sort of family is that? What kind of society does that produce? Well, people look everywhere to find answers. I know I did, but in all the wrong places. What is it that you look to? Are you hooked on cheap TV and films? Gambling, drinking, starting new families, shopping therapy? Whatever it is for you, it does not fix things, but makes things worse. The Bible says, actually, it makes us slaves. And life becomes very difficult. It is hard, very hard. So much is against you from the outside, but even from the inside. I know what I should do, but I can't do it. It's too hard. It's even dangerous as well. Like the council road sweepers going around collecting up all the rubbish, we pick up so much rubbish going through life. Degrading, poisonous, dangerous. Unfortunately, there's no undo button. There's no reset button. I can't stop the game and play it again with life. And the result is that it becomes a life of distress, or very distressing. Perhaps we should use the word misery. Some prefer these days to use the word mental health. But let's remember, abuse, breakup, hurt and hate are all the result of someone's selfishness and sin. Taking the law into my own hands not only offends God, but hurts you and hurts others. God's good law, like the law of the land, was designed to protect you. In fact, the police have 3 P's. They are to protect people, they are to protect property, and they are to protect the peace, keep the peace. So disobeying God's good law has consequences, as we read in that passage just a bit before. Despite all their efforts, things went wrong and their plans failed. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. They looked around, searching far and wide. They roamed through the land. They were looking around, searching far and wide. I used to love to travel, always looking for something. How many people are there traveling and traveling and traveling, but never arriving? When they are famished, that is, they have an empty heart, they will become enraged and looking upwards. They looked around, they looked upwards. Did they look to God for answers? What do? They will curse their king and their God. Blame him. He's the problem. Well, they also look down. Verse 22 says, then they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Don't look down. Don't look around. Don't look inside. Don't look to the world. Don't look to the supernatural. Don't look to the mystical world either. When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? That road promises life, but actually leads to death. So life is disappointing. We hope for so much, but nothing comes of it. The light at the end is a trick. And many enter this world without God and without hope. And they leave this world without God and without hope. And then finally, death. Death. The 1 per person statistic for all of us. The worst is, Jesus says, is that death is not the end. There is the judgment to come. Everyone who's ever lived in this world will have to give an account for everything done while in the body and every careless word said. Death came into this world the moment Adam and Eve sinned against God. Death, we are told, is the wages of sin, the consequence of sin. The worst is eternal death with weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell, the dreadful end for all who have broken God's holy law. Yes, how dreadful it is. I painted a very gloomy picture, I realise that. But it's the real picture. It's how things are. But that's only half of the story. We read in that passage the wonderful word, nevertheless. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land. Yes, God does humble us, that we might call out to him in my need. Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. That is those living in a very poor and pagan and godless part of the country. But now, this passage we read in Isaiah 9, which is so famous and read at Christmas, 700 years before Jesus came into this world, it is predicted and promised that God himself, the Son of God, would come into this world. For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In chapter 7 we read, he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. This passage is full of hope. Now there is help, now there is a way, now things can change. Here comes one who is the answer. We've been lighting candles on the run-up to Christmas and Advent to remind us of Christ, who is the light of the world, the one who came into this world. And the first revelation of God in the Bible is that light has come. Let there be light. Have you put your Christmas lights up yet? Some pretty impressive displays around here, aren't there? Well, it says the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Not only has light come into this world, but also love. Love came down at Christmas. God is love, and you and I were made for God's love. Nothing else will do. No one else will do. And in God, of course, is life. Life, we're told, is in Christ. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus brings life into this world. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. The last one which we'll have on Christmas morning is land. And I put land because it starts with L. But actually, it's because there is a future land. The future for us who follow Christ is not up in the clouds. It is a new land. And Christ will take me there. Sometimes my mother asks me when we're having lunch together, she says, if you had a choice which country you would live in, which one would you choose? And I really have to think about that for a moment, because every time I think about countries, I think about the good points, but also the bad points. And wherever you go in the world, you will find disappointment and things going wrong. And I remember going to Australia, and it looked like a perfect beach scenario. It was wonderful. And yet there were flies who would never leave you alone. And yet there is another land, heaven, the land of heaven, which is there for all who follow Christ. That's the problem, isn't it? We want to be on the right side of the board, but we actually live on the left-hand side of the board. So many people live on the left-hand side of the board. There's a barrier that cannot be crossed, or so we might think. But that is exactly what Christ came to do. And that is what Christmas is all about. Christ coming into this world to deal with this barrier so that we can cross over from one to the other. That is exactly why Christ came into this world. He came to do something to help us. Christ, the Holy One, the pure and holy and righteous Son of God. It was he who had no sin, perfect in everything, who was put to death by wicked men. God gave his best. What did man do? Crucified him in the most terrible way. That's how man treated the one who gives us life and breath and everything and showed love beyond measure. Love to those who were against him. The cross is a place of victory, for Christ paid for my sin and rose again to bring in victory over death for many people. The Bible says, on this mountain or on this cross, he will destroy the shroud. That is death, and that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. And then there's those confusing words, aren't there? For as in the day Midian's defeat, well, the reference here is to a very dramatic victory over an oppressive enemy. You have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. Here is the victory. Here is the freedom coming in from darkness and gloom and oppression. Question now is, how can I and you cross over? It was impossible, but now it has been made possible through Christ who makes it possible. And the answer is this, to look. They looked everywhere. They looked up, they looked around, they looked down, but look to Christ. No good looking there. The simple answer is to look to Christ, who says, come to me. Here's one preacher who says, look to Christ, sweating great drops of blood. Look unto me, I'm hanging on the cross. Look unto me, I'm dead and buried. Look unto me, I rise again. Look unto me, I ascend to heaven. Look unto me, I'm sitting at the Father's right hand. O poor sinner, look unto me, look unto me. That's the day that Charles Haddon Spurgeon was sitting in the church one snowy day in January, listening to the word of God. He says the preacher fixed his eyes on him. As if he knew all about my heart, he said, young man, you look very miserable. Well, I did, but I had not been accustomed to having remarks made from the pulpit to my personal appearance before. However, it was a good blow, struck right home. He continued, and you will always be miserable, miserable in life and miserable in death, if you don't obey my text. But if you obey now, this moment, you will be saved. Then lifting up his hands, he shouted, young man, look to Jesus Christ. Look, look, look. You have nothing to do but to look and live. Spurgeon said, I saw at once the way of salvation. I was so possessed with that one thought. I had been waiting to do 50 other things. But when I heard that word, look, what a charming word it seemed to me. Oh, I looked until I could almost look my eyes away. There and then the cloud was gone. The darkness had rolled away. And that moment I saw the sun. And I could have risen that instant and sung with the most enthusiastic of them, of the precious blood of Christ and the simple faith which looks to him alone. Oh, that somebody had told me this before. Trust in Christ and you shall be saved. Yet it was, no doubt, all wisely ordered. And now I can say, ever since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wound supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. That happy day when I found the Saviour and learned to cling to his dear feet was a day never to be forgotten. I listened to the word of God, and that precious text led me to the cross. I can testify that the joy of that day was so utterly indescribable. I could have leapt, I could have danced. There was no expression, however fanatical, which would have been out of keeping with the joy of that hour. I thought I could have sprung from my seat and called out, I'm forgiven, a monument of grace, a sinner saved by his blood. My spirit saw its chains broken to pieces. I felt that I was a freed soul, an heir of heaven, a forgiven one, accepted in Jesus Christ, plucked out of the miry clay and out of the horrible pit, with my feet set upon a rock and my going established. The simple question is today, this morning, have you? Why not? Will you now look to Christ, look to him, change direction and look to him alone? One man gave a very stirring account at his baptism of finding Christ, and he had his t-shirt, under new management. Yes, he had a new direction, a new master, a new Lord. And what we read earlier was true of him, as it is of me and many others. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. Christ is the King who sits on the throne in heaven. Does he have his rightful place on your heart today? Christ reigns over a kingdom of righteousness from that time on and forever. Will you be part of it? Are you in it? Let this Christmas, with all its problems, be the Christmas that changes everything for you. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end.
peace now and peace later without end. May that be your experience as it is mine and many other people around the world.